This is Cicely Tyson. We're in a forgotten place, passed over and left behind. Once when the city was young, long ago, this street was its center, the beautiful and bright focal point of all its life. But that's all changed. Now, amid the abandoned warehouses, the partially burnt-out structures and the broken pavements littered with debris and jagged pieces of glass, there remains one last link to the former grandeur and grace. A block of old Victorian mansions, most of them vacant and teetering on the edge of ruin. Across from these crumbling houses, there is a dilapidated and defunct hotel. Perched in its fire escapes, there are children. They have the appearance of a flock of half-starved birds. At the approach of a car, they retreat from sight, but still, they watch with huge dark eyes from the gaping black windows of the building. These are the Hollanders, Alan, Diana, Jeff, and Jennifer. Alan has by the hand 2-year-old Jeff, and Diana holds in her arms Jennifer, who's just 8 months. The Hollanders are urban homesteaders. They have left their comfortable home in the suburbs to settle here. They stand before the enormous and battered old house that is now theirs. The brick wall that fronts it is scarred with spray-painted graffiti that speaks in bitter eloquence of hatred, anger, and hopelessness. But the Hollanders have brought hope with them to this place. Hope and humor and love.
Well, we're here. I guess we made better time than the moving van.
Alan, was that window in the little tower broken when we were here last week?
No. Seems to me that was the only one left intact.
Oh, someone got to it. Now they're all broken.
So we start completely fresh. No windows till we put them in ourselves.
It must have been so beautiful once.
And it will be again.
When?
Not soon, my very lovely and impatient lady. It's going to be a long time coming, Diana.
I know. I want things to happen so fast.
If you'd had your way, you'd have had the kids in 4 months instead of 9.
I couldn't wait to see their faces. I feel the same way about this old place. I want to see it when it's everything it can be again.
It'll come.
Well, we may not know when we'll be finished, but we do know when we can start.
Today's the day.
Under the Urban Homestead Act, the Hollanders paid $1 for this property, agreed to improve it, and to stay at least 3 years. But these pioneers are planning on a lifetime in their $1 dream house. And that is only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, $1 Dream House by Pamela Russell. Our stars, Patricia Joyce, Jack Bannon, and Irene Tedrow.
For a week, the Hollanders have lived in the old house that stands in the decayed center of the city. Soon Alan will be leaving for his law offices. He can walk there now. From the suburbs where they used to live, it had been over an hour's commute into the city. It's one of the many advantages. But this week, the city has been quick to reveal its disadvantages to the Hollanders.
Diana, do you realize that we actually have glass in every window of this house? No more drafts coming through the boards?
Or derelicts, either. That man the other day just about scared the life out of me.
Oh, I'm sure he was harmless. He was probably just looking for a warm place to sleep.
I know. But when I walked in and found him half in, half out of the window with Jennifer in her crib not 10 feet away, I was terrified.
That was a blood-curdling scream you let out. I'm sure he spread the word that this house is no longer empty.
Yes, and that it's occupied by banshees. I guess getting to know our neighbors around here will be a little different than it was in Logan Knoll's. I don't think throwing a backyard barbecue will do it.
No, I wouldn't start making the guacamole dip. But then here you don't run the risk of having your brain turned to mashed avocado.
I have lost my pastoral complacency this week. But, Alan, do you ever wonder just exactly what we've gotten ourselves into?
We knew this wasn't going to be easy. Diana, what's wrong?
Mother's coming over today.
Today?
Yes, could you stay?
I have to be in court at 11 this morning.
Oh, that's right, I forgot. Guess I'm on my own. It's too soon. I don't have things even close to the way I want them. I'm just not ready for Mother. Alan, she'll faint when she sees this place.
I'm only surprised she wasn't here the first day.
Well, wouldn't that have been wonderful? At least now we have windows, and I've made a start on the garden.
Don't forget my beautiful new sidewalk out front that I nearly broke my back putting in.
And it makes such a difference, too. How did I get so lucky to have a husband who's not only a legal genius, but an expert carpenter and bricklayer, too?
Not to mention my movie star good looks.
Now, how could I have forgotten that?
I better get a move on. If I don't get going, I may have to start making a living laying bricks.
Mother's not due till noon. Maybe I'll have time to scrape some of the words off the front wall.
At least the obscene ones.
Very funny. You can joke. You don't have to face her.
You'll do just fine. You want to know why?
I'm dying to know.
Because you have the power of your convictions. You believe in what we're doing here.
You sound like a lawyer. I'm feeling a little shaky in the convictions this morning.
I have faith in you.
Thank you very much, sir. Let's see. I'll point out the parquet floors, the marble fixtures, the ceiling moldings, the proximity of the art museum and theaters.
It sounds great. Just don't let her see the cockroaches, the winos, and the nearness of Max's pawn shop and Sheldon Swift, the bail bondsman.
You're a big help.
Just trying to get a little laugh out of you.
Not even a giggle.
It's going to be all right, Diana.
If you say so.
I really have to get going. Come on, walk me to the door.
Deserter.
Give my love to Edna.
Your love in a blindfold might help.
You know how good it feels to be able to walk to work?
Yeah, I know how tense you used to be after the drive home. You'd be so late. And sometimes a week would go by and you wouldn't see Jeff or Jennifer awake. They'd almost forget who you were.
Look at your garden.
Not bad for an amateur. It's funny. Out in the Knolls, I took it all for granted. The trees, the flowers, everything. Now that I have to work for it, it means a lot more to me. You know, Alan, I had the strangest sensation when I was working out here yesterday, as if I was being watched.
That poor old bum spooked you, that's all.
Maybe. I don't know. Do you think the flowers will get enough sunshine there?
Sure. In the afternoon, the sun should be.
Alan! Alan, look!
What? Where?
Look! The sidewalk is gone! Somebody took our sidewalk!
Look at that. They just pried it up and carted it off.
Why would anybody want to steal a sidewalk?
I don't know.
Oh, what do we do now?
You call the police. When I get a chance, I'll call our insurance agent and see if we're covered.
Diana has set up the playpen for Jennifer in the front yard. She's working on the garden, and Jeff is busy with his own. A collection of sticks, rocks, and tiny dirt trenches that could be beautiful only to a 2-year-old boy. Diana looks from her tulips to the gate, occasionally watching for the arrival of either her mother or the police. But her first visitor this morning is an unexpected one. She looks up and sees standing at her gate what seems like an apparition from the past. An elderly woman in a dark silk dress, lace mittens, and a faded Chinese paper parasol.
Hello.
Good morning, my dear. How lovely it is to see a family here. There hasn't been a family in this house in, 20 years or more. My name is Olivia Stanhope.
It's very nice to meet you. I'm Diana Hollander. Won't you please come in, Mrs. Stanhope?
Oh, thank you, my dear. And it's Miss Stanhope. I never married. But please, call me Olivia. I live just 2 houses down from you. I've been intending to come and call, but I thought I'd let you settle a bit before I did. Sister and I watched you move in last week.
It was rather an event for us.
I had no idea there was anyone still living in these houses.
Sister and I have lived here for 73 years. Well, sister has anyway. I'm only 70.
You mean you were both born in the house?
Yes, born, lived all our lives, and we'll die there, I'm certain.
You must have seen this neighborhood go through a great many changes.
Oh, that we have. It saddens us to see it as it is now. We rarely leave the house anymore. But I did want to have this visit with you and tell you how happy you and your family have made Viola and me. One of these days, I may even talk her into coming over, too.
I wish you would, Olivia. Olivia and Viola.
Yes, names you don't often hear anymore. Mama loved Shakespeare, and especially Twelfth Night. What are your little ones' names?
Jeffrey and Jennifer.
Beautiful babies.
Thank you.
I'd nearly forgotten that children like yours existed. Sister and I were teachers. Viola taught English, and my subject was history. We had many lovely pupils, but it seems now all we see are those other ones.
Other ones?
Haven't you seen them yet?
Them? No, I haven't.
Oh, well, you will. Across the way there, that's where they are.
Who, Olivia?
Yes, over there. That was once the Imperial Arms. Papa was outraged at the idea of a hotel being built right under our noses. He tried to stop it, but he couldn't. It opened in 1915 and closed its doors in 1963.
But you said someone lives there now.
Yes, a tribe of children.
A tribe?
Well, really more like a pack. A pack of animals. More like wolves than children.
I don't think I understand, Olivia.
Perhaps you understand, but you don't want to believe.
Are you telling me that a group of children live in that abandoned building across the street?
Yes.
What about their parents?
Well, they seem to have none. It's only children that we've seen up on the fire escapes and in the streets at night. You haven't seen them? You're sure?
No, but...
What?
Yesterday, when I was out here, I did have the feeling I was being watched.
Oh, I'm certain you were, my dear.
Why doesn't somebody do something about them for them?
Well, there's no one who cares or... who is even aware that they're alive, I suppose. 3 years ago, when Sister and I first began to see them, we called the police.
And what happened?
Well, they sent over two very nice young officers to investigate, but the children must have seen their automobile. There was no one there when they went inside. The officers told us that it was probably transients that we'd seen. They promised they would send someone from the city to board up the doors and windows again. I think that the young policeman thought that Sister and I had lost our minds, that we were senile. Perhaps you think that too, Diana?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm glad of that. They do live there, the children, and they come out at night. We've seen them often, Sister and I. Like shadows they are, but they're real. We leave food outside our gate. In the mornings it's always gone, but... well, then it could be the rats that carry it away and eat it.
The police are coming here today. You may have noticed that our sidewalk was stolen. Mm. When they come, Olivia, I'm going to tell them what you've told me.
I doubt it'll do any good.
Why not?
The children must always be watching and waiting. When the police come, they'll run off. When the police go, they'll come back. It's probably a kind of game for them.
Horrible game.
Well, that's their life, my dear. A horrible game. Well, I must be going now. Sister will be wondering why I've been so long. May I come again and visit with you and your lovely golden babies? Just the sight of them does me good.
Yes, please do. And bring Viola.
Well, I shall try to persuade her. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye.
The Hollanders have had very different days. It is evident in their greeting at the door.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
What's wrong, Diana?
No, I want to hear about your day. You won, I know you did. Come on, let's sit down. Tell me all about it.
What happened?
No, cheer me up. Tell me about your triumph in court.
All right. It was one of those perfect days. I knew I was saying all the right things, making all the right moves. It was great. You know, a day like today makes all the years of study worthwhile. I'm doing what I was meant to do. You know, this was the kind of a day that you want to put under glass and keep always to pull out and remember on those other days when nothing is right and everything is wrong.
Nothing right and everything wrong. That sounds familiar. That's what I had today, one of those other days. How is it that we started the same way, Alan, with the stolen sidewalk and ended so differently?
I think maybe the sidewalk gave me the edge I needed. I was so mad.
That you turned it into righteous indignation for your client. All lawyers are actors at heart, I think.
Shh. Now that's a trade secret. So tell me, did your mother give you a rough time?
Yes, but I expected that. She found fault with everything. The way the kids looked, the way I looked, the way the house looked. Let's see, too dirty, too thin, and too old.
What?
Jeff was filthy. He'd been working on his garden when she got here, and she made him cry when she told him to go wash his hands. She says my face is pinched and I should gain some weight, and the house, among other things, is falling down from age. According to Mother, we own a white elephant. And if we're not murdered in our beds, the very least we can expect is to be robbed, vandalized, and mugged. Oh, and finally condemned by the health department.
So much for Edna. What do the police have to say?
About the same thing as Mother. They were full of warnings and dire predictions. Evidently, it's going to be impossible to trace a sidewalk. Does the insurance cover it?
I'm afraid not. Porches, yes. Sidewalks, no.
Figures.
So we'll put in another sidewalk, that's all.
And they can steal that other one, too.
Diana, it's not like you to be so down.
I know, but there was more to my day if you want to hear it.
Tell on.
Well, Jeff threw his bowl of cereal at me. It's really getting to be a handful. I think we may have termites, and I met one of our neighbors.
Not another wino through the window.
No, this was an elderly lady named Olivia Stanhope. She and her sister Viola live two houses away.
That doesn't sound too bad.
No. Maybe a little depressing. They're retired school teachers, and they're all alone. But Olivia told me something very disturbing, and I can't stop thinking about it.
What is it?
Olivia says that there are children living in that old abandoned hotel across the street.
Children?
Yeah, she called them a tribe of children.
Sounds to me like the imaginings of a very frightened old woman.
I believed her. In fact, I asked the police when they came today if they would go over and see if they could find anything.
And did they?
They went over, but they said it was deserted. They told me they saw what might have been the remains of human habitation. But it was most likely derelicts who broke in, slept there a night or two, and moved on.
There, you see?
But Alan, the police told Olivia the same thing when she reported the children 3 years ago. She says they run off when they see a police car. She says they're always watching and that they only come out at night.
It's not possible. It can't be. A pack of children living in an abandoned building? It couldn't happen.
Why couldn't it?
It just couldn't, that's all.
Do you remember this morning when I told you that I felt someone watching me when I was out in the garden? It was those children. I know it was. They're there. They are.
Diana, you're nervous and upset. It's been a bad day.
It's been a beast of a day, but that has nothing to do with it. I'm telling you, Alan, I can feel their presence. They're over there in that awful place. Why won't you believe me?
Diana?
What makes you so sure there aren't any children?
Where are their parents?
That was the first thing I asked, too, but you and I both know that some parents desert children and some children run away. It happens.
It happens every day, but someone would have to know of the existence of these kids. There must be some kind of a record of them somewhere.
The police obviously know nothing.
Well, if not the police, then the welfare department, the school system, somebody.
Maybe nobody, Alan. Maybe nobody knows and maybe nobody cares.
I'm not willing to believe that our society is in such a mess that children could be allowed to live alone in an abandoned building. We might as well say that this isn't a city at all, but some kind of a jungle, if we can accept that.
Isn't that exactly what it's become, a jungle? Didn't we know that? Didn't we come here to try and make a change in it? Didn't we leave Logan Knoll's, the perfect protected community where all the houses were the same and all the faces were the same, to be a part of real life? All right, reality isn't as pretty as Logan Knoll's, but I don't want to be insulated. I want to try and make a change here in the real world. If we turn our backs and ignore the possibility of those children over there, we might just as well go back to Logan Knoll's. Aren't we here to make a difference?
Yes, but you're trying to do it all in one day, just like I knew you would.
If I ask Olivia to come and watch Jeff and Jennifer tomorrow morning, will you go with me over there?
What if I say no?
Then I guess I'll go alone.
I'll go with you, Diana. Diana, the doors and windows are nailed shut. How are we supposed to get in there?
Some of those boards are just hanging. Let's just take one or two down.
There's a word for what you're proposing, you know. Actually, three words. Breaking and entering.
It's an empty building, isn't it? Aren't you sure of that?
Yes, I am.
Well, then there's no problem.
Wrong. It's still breaking and entering.
If we're arrested, you can defend us.
We have no defense. Ouch! Oh, look at that. I got a splinter in my hand 3 inches long.
I'll take it out when we get home.
If we get home. How did you ever talk me into this?
We're just going to go in and look around. You don't believe there's anyone in there. It's just a big, old, abandoned hotel, right?
Right. I intend to prove that to you once and for all. Now, if we can only avoid falling through the rotted floorboards.
Come on.
I'll go first. Watch that nail when you come through. Are you okay?
Fine. Do you have the flashlight? It's so dark in here.
Would you look at this place?
Whew, Alan. What's that?
Rats.
Oh, my God.
What'd you expect to find?
I knew it would be bad, but not this. Never this.
You still think children could survive here? That they could live in a place like this?
But what if they are, Alan?
What now? I suppose you want me to go looking upstairs.
I guess so. Alan?
Yes?
Will you hold my hand? I'm scared. I'm really scared.
Let's go home.
No, not yet.
All right. Hold on and follow the beam of light. What was the name of this place?
The Imperial Arms.
And how many floors?
I'm not sure.
You suppose the police went any farther than the lobby?
Probably not.
And they showed remarkable good sense. This place ought to be torn down. It's a hazard.
Oh, Alan!
Somebody threw that at us.
There is someone here.
Yes, and they don't want company.
Alan, maybe you were right. Should we go back? We could just call the police and tell them what happened.
No, well, that'd just give whoever it is time to disappear again. You were right. It's up to us now. This is our show.
At least you don't think I'm crazy.
Well, I know there's somebody here. Could be a bum, like the police said. It could be a gang of kids, but one thing I know for sure.
What's that?
That was no spirit that sailed that wine bottle at us.
You're right there, mister. I sure ain't no ghost. Hey, would you get that light out of my face?
Who are you?
Name's Eddie, lady.
What are you doing here?
I could ask you the same thing. I'm telling you to get that light out of my face. You're blinding me. What are you doing here?
We came looking for you, Eddie.
For me, huh? You sent the cops over yesterday. Today you come. This is as far as you get. We spotted the cops, but we didn't see you come until it was too late to get out. You stop here. I'll make sure of that.
Are there others here with you?
What's it to you?
You don't live here.
We do okay.
Where are the others now?
None of your business.
Are they hiding, Eddie? They don't need to hide from us. We don't want to hurt them or you.
Yeah. Maybe so, maybe not. I've seen you before, lady.
When?
When you was out working in your yard across the street. That was you. You kept looking on over here. Why'd you do that?
I felt someone watching me. I guess it was you, Eddie.
Why would people like you want to move into a house like that? And around here? Why didn't you just stay where you belong?
Well, where do you think that is, Eddie?
I don't know, and I don't care. Just, why'd you have to come here?
We thought maybe we could make things better here.
What, by planting flowers? It's gonna take a lot more than flowers, lady.
Listen to me, Eddie. You and whoever else is here with you can't stay.
Yeah? Says who? What you gonna do, call the cops on us again?
If I have to, I will.
What if I cut your throat with this wine bottle? And the pretty ladies, too.
I don't think you want to do that.
Maybe I do. Maybe I don't.
Eddie, may I ask you something?
What?
How old are you?
Why do you want to know?
I just wondered.
Okay, I'm 13.
Where are your parents?
Ain't got any. Been on my own since I was 9.
But there must be someone who...
Nobody! There's just us here. We're family now.
How many are there?
You talk real soft, lady. But you don't fool me. If I didn't tell him, I ain't gonna tell you.
But we only want to help.
You do, huh? Then leave us alone and don't call the cops again. And even if you do, they won't catch us. Just find another place. They'll never catch us.
Eddie! Eddie!
Aw, Angie. I told you not to come down here. I told you to stay put, didn't I?
But I don't like it in the closet, Eddie. My legs feel funny all scrunched up in there.
Hello, Angie.
Don't say nothing to them, Angie. You just go back up now.
Do I have to go back in the closet, Eddie?
No, just go on up and wait for me.
Okay, Eddie.
You were so fired up to know who else was here. Well, Angie's one of us.
She couldn't be much more than 5 years old.
Don't know for sure. A couple of years ago, I found her wrapped up in a blanket in a trash can. First, I thought she was dead. She wasn't. She looked kind of like a little angel, so I called her Angie.
I have to know, Eddie, how many of you are there?
You gotta know, lady. Well, okay. There's 8 of us. We're family. We're doing okay. And just leave us alone.
Eddie! Eddie! Eddie!
He's gone, Diana.
What are we gonna do?
The only thing we can do, call the police. And in a hurry.
Cicely Tyson again. Months have passed since the day that Alan and Diana called the police about their encounter with the children in the old hotel across the way. Several patrol cars had been dispatched immediately, but no children were found. Since that day, Diana has been haunted by the thought of Eddie and the others and where they had gone.
Hello.
You don't remember me, do you? It's me, Eddie.
Eddie? Eddie, of course I remember you. I just didn't recognize you right away. It was so dark the last time I saw you.
Why'd you do it, lady?
You mean, why did we call the police?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We had to, Eddie. I don't expect you to understand, but we had to call them. We couldn't just let you go on like that and do nothing to try to help you.
Help? You sure did help. It was doing just fine until you came along trying to help. We had to sleep in the park for a week before I could find another place for us. It was cold nights in the park, and Angie, she got sick. She still is. She won't eat nothing and she coughs all the time.
Where are you living now?
You think I'd tell you? So you could blow the whistle on us again? Not a chance, lady.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Eddie. I really do want to help. I think about you and Angie and the others every day. I can't stop thinking about you.
Yeah, sure.
It's true.
You fixed up this place real pretty.
Eddie, why'd you come?
Wanted to ask you something.
What?
Wanted to ask if you'd take care of Angie.
Take her?
Yeah, you know, give her a home. She's sick, see, and I can't make her better. Didn't take her out of that trash can to have her die on me, you know?
Yeah, of course. We'll take Angie. We'll find homes for all of you, Eddie.
We ain't puppies, lady. For Angie, it might work out okay. You know, she's little. Nobody want the rest of us.
They would.
They never did before. Why would they now? Just because you say so?
Let me try, Eddie. At least let me try. Bring them here, please.
No! We've been on our own, on the streets, too long, see? But maybe Angie. You sure you want her, lady? Be good to her?
Yes. And please, Eddie, bring the others. I know that I can
Diana?
Help you find...
Diana, who's that out there with you?
Oh, no. I gotta go. He'll turn me in for sure.
No, Eddie, don't go. Eddie! Eddie! Eddie, don't go!
Was that who I think it was?
It was Eddie.
What did he want?
He wanted to know if we'd take that little girl, Angie, if we'd give her a home. She's sick, and he knows he can't take care of her. He wants to leave her with us.
Where is she? Did he bring her?
No, he got scared and ran off before I could find out anything else.
I scared him away. I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. Eddie lives scared.
I know how you feel about those kids. Do you know that you dream about them? I've heard you night after night calling their names out in your sleep.
Alan, do you think he'll come back? That he'll bring Angie to us?
Yes, I do. Eddie loves that little girl. She may very well be the only person he's ever loved. I think he'd risk anything so that she could be safe.
I hope you're right.
Let's go in, Diana. And don't forget your pretty flowers.
You know, Eddie's the supreme realist. He warned me it would take more than flowers. We haven't changed a thing here. All we've done is put a coat of paint over everything. It looks fresh and clean, but it's still rotten underneath.
Now don't be so discouraged.
But, Alan, how long have we been trying to get that horrible old hotel torn down? How many phone calls have I made? How many offices have you waited in? How many forms filled out? How many bureaucrats have we pleaded with and screamed at? And nothing happens.
It takes time. I'm not ready to give up yet. Are you?
But nobody seems to care.
We do, don't we?
Yes. I'm sorry. I know I haven't been myself lately. Can't be easy living with me these days.
Was it easy for you when I was studying for the bar night and day and you were pregnant with Jeff?
No, it wasn't.
We all have rough times, but you and I are lucky, Diana. We don't have to go through them alone. We have each other.
I love you, Alan.
And I love you.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about us in this house.
And you don't want to stay?
Oh, I want to stay, Alan, more than anything. I'm not much good with red tape. Maybe I can't get that hotel torn down. But I am good with people. Children, babies like Jeff and Jennifer. There's so many of them who are locked in rooms all day while their parents work or have no place at all to go. I was thinking that maybe in this big old house we could make a place for them.
You mean like a daycare center?
Yes, exactly.
That's a wonderful idea.
And Alan, the Stanhope sisters, they were teachers. Do you think they'd like to come and help?
Feel useful again? Needed? I'm sure they would. Only please keep one thing in mind, Diana. We can't afford to adopt all the children you find.
But what about Angie? If Eddie brings her to us, we can adopt her.
Yes. When Eddie brings her, we'll arrange it. It'll be a terrific legal snarl, but we'll straighten it out. You can have three of your own in the daycare center.
We're really going to do this, aren't we?
We really are.
Okay, everybody. Let's settle down. We have a special treat today. Miss Stanhope is going to read a story today. A wonderful story about a big, tall mountain and the bear who lived on it and the little boy who wanted to climb it. Miss Stanhope?
Once upon a time, long ago, in a place very far away, there lived a little boy. His name was Elias.
Diana, you've done a very wonderful thing.
No, not me, all of us. I can hardly believe the center's been open for nearly 6 months.
And more children every day. The change in them from day to day. But not only the children. You've given Sister and me our lives back.
Well, Olivia, thank you, but you praise me too much.
Well, I happen to prize my life rather highly. These days, anyway, young lady.
Oh, I didn't mean that.
Oh, I know what you meant, my dear. Tell me, how much longer do you think Sister and I would have lasted shut up in that house with nothing to do, nothing to look forward to? Why, we were only waiting to die. Now I wake up in the mornings and, well, my old bones ache, but I get out of that bed because I think of the children and how they'd miss me if I didn't come here. If it weren't for them, I might just lie there. At my age, that's fatal. And Sister, the way the children listened to her. They weren't moving. They were spellbound. I never knew a better teacher than Viola. She loved it. She wept when they forced her to retire.
I'll never understand that policy. It's inhuman.
Yes, it's a waste. What's the use of living all the years, accumulating all the experience, if when you get old they lock you out, shut you away from everything that's young and living? It's a terrible waste. Well, my oatmeal cookies are nearly done. I have to get them out of the oven before they burn. I promised oatmeal cookies for the afternoon snack. I can't spend all my time standing around jabbering with you, Diana.
Dear Diana.
Now he could feel the empty place in his pocket where it had been. He could feel the sharp rocks in his shoes and the tingling hurt of his scraped knee. But he sat on the top of the mountain, the whole world spread out before him, and he smiled. Elias was happy. The end!
Okay. Okay, it's nearly snack time. I want everyone to hold someone's hand and very slowly go downstairs. Slowly now.
Mommy? Mommy?
Yes, Angie.
I love the bear story.
So did I. You smell those oatmeal cookies?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go downstairs and get some before they're all gone.
Yes, Mommy.
I finished in court earlier than I expected. You look beautiful. You know that?
Oh, come on now. I have finger paint in my hair, red clay under my nails, and I haven't had any lipstick on in 3 weeks.
I don't care. You're blooming, Diana.
I feel like Viola's little boy who climbed the mountain. I've been hurt and scared and lost, and I can still feel the empty place where Eddie should have been. But I'm finally at the top.
Diana, what are you talking about?
Oh, a story Viola read to the children today. But what I'm really saying is that I'm happy, Alan.
So am I. But I know you. You've reached the top of this particular mountain. What's next?
Well, it's funny that you should say this, because I have this idea. I think that we should expand the center, include older children, and actually teach classes. I mean, cookies are fine, they're wonderful, but imagine what Olivia and Viola could give to older children. We could be licensed as a private school, and... Why are you smiling at me, Alan?
I'm just smiling. Have I ever told you how good it feels to come home to you?
Oh, maybe once or twice, but I can never hear it enough.
This place really is a dream house.
No, Alan, it's a dream come true house.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, $1 Dream House, was written by Pamela Russell and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Patricia Joyce, Jack Bannon, and Irene Tedrow. Featured in the cast were June Foray and Brian Miller. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears, a name that means quality and value. A name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.